Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. All right, let's talk Thanksgiving pies. Bridget Lancaster of America's Test Kitchen is here in Studio 3 with me to talk pies. Welcome, Bridget.
I'm here to talk pies and anything else.
Excellent. And listeners, she is here for you. What is your family's iconic Thanksgiving pie? Are you making it? And if you are, what questions do you have? I always have questions about the pies. What questions do you have about how to make it or make it even better? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Bridget, this is a big deal.
It's kind of the Super Bowl of holidays, right?
Excellent, excellent. And America's Test Kitchen has a new book out about pies.
I sure do.
The Perfect Pie, Your Ultimate Guide to Classic and Modern Pies, Tarts, Galettes, and More.
And more.
And more. Yes. It's kind of part recipe book, part step-by-step instruction, but it proves you seem to really love pie.
Yeah, I have been told that before. I really love pie. Our company loves pie. I don't know if pies went out of fashion for a little while, but I think people are really excited about bringing them back.
Do you think they went out of fashion? Is that why now it's time for a book on the art of really good pie making?
I think so. At least the standard pie, what we think of as a pie. I think we start thinking about more tarts and galettes and things like that.
What is a galette, by the way?
Well, it can be just about anything you want it to be, but it's usually a much thinner dough. Maybe it's not baked in a pan. It can be free form. A pie tends to be baked in a pie shell.
Okay.
So whether it's one crust or two crust or crumb crust or no crust, it's a pie.
So in our house, we joke that we try to have a 2-to-1 ratio between person and pie.
I love that so much.
But is pie kind of a uniquely American thing, or is it universal?
I think it's universal. Certainly the British, when they came here, they brought a lot of pie making with them. And actually, the first pies were very similar to cakes. If you think of Boston cream pie, it's actually a cake.
Interesting.
So, but it was baked in a specific dish, which was called a pie dish. And that's how we got to pies. Of course, we have a lot better fruit here in the States. We've got some apples, and you go down to Florida, California, you can get some mangoes and other things into your pie. So I think we really took pies off and made it ours.
All right. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your questions of Bridget Lancaster. Kirsten from Marblehead, fire away. What's your question?
Hi, Bridget. This is Kirsten from Marblehead. I make an amazing apple pie every fall from a Russell Orchard, which is up in Ipswich, and we pick all the apples. We put it together, we freeze it, and then we go to cook it on Thanksgiving morning. I'm never quite sure how to get it so the pie is completely cooked on the inside and nice and brown on the outside. And then when we cut it open to make sure it's not soupy and all that juice leaks everywhere and it gets sort of like all runny.
So what's your advice, Bridget?
So a couple of things. I mean, one thing that's really counterintuitive, if you pre-cook your apples, cut the apples into slices, cook them in a pan with a little bit of butter just until they start to wilt, that actually helps them set their pectin, set their shape. And pre-cooked apples tend to hold their shape better than uncooked apples in a pie plate, in a pie dish, and people don't think that. So I would pre-cook your apples. I would also, what kind of thickener are you using? Are you still on the line?
Not sure if we've still got her online.
Okay.
We don't.
That's all right. So it depends on the type of thickener. I would use flour as a thickener. She's probably using cornstarch. I would use flour. Flour can take a lot more heat. So that way she can keep it in the oven a little bit longer and it'll thicken nicely.
And temperature?
350 is always a good idea for just about any pie.
And how long in general does one cook a fruit pie at 350 degrees?
Right. So something like an apple pie. So you've got two crusts. So you've got a lot of steam in there. You're talking at least 35, 40 minutes, maybe even up to 55 minutes, depending on if it's a deep dish.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK for questions about excellent pie. Dean from Hyde Park, pull up a seat at the table. What's your question?
It's not a question. It's a comment. It's a plug for a sour cream pie crust. It might sound weird if you've never done it, and you can easily Google it. There are probably a couple different recipes for it, but it's basically flour, butter, sour cream, a little salt and sugar, no water, no vodka, or whatever people use in these many different pie crust recipes that I've seen and mostly destroyed until I came across this one. It is foolproof. It's easy. It's nice and flaky and puffy. Everyone loves it. I use it for sweet pies, savory pies, galettes, open face, whatever, and it is delicious.
Well, and I also love Dean that he knows what a galette is, I feel.
That's true. That's true.
So what about the sour cream in the pie crust?
Yeah, that works. We actually have a sour cream pie dough. I think what's interesting here, too, is that there is a pie dough to fit anyone. So people are afraid of making pie dough.
I'm afraid of making pie dough.
Exactly, for a really good reason, because we think that one dough has to serve everyone. But no, you find the one that works well for you. Sour cream is a high-fat product, so it's going to make a nice flaky dough. It's got a little bit of acid in it, so it's going to be a tender dough as well. It sounds like a great idea.
All right, I want to get to more calls, but before we do, I want to eat pie. And you brought a beautiful pie that represents one of the kind of really clever twists on traditional Thanksgiving pies that your book has. So tell us about the pie you bought while I take my taste.
Oh, good.
And then you get second taste.
So this is a pumpkin praline pie. So you think about the standards of Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, my goodness.
You have a pumpkin pie, and then you'll have a pecan pie, or depending on where you're from in the country, a pecan pie, and you might have an apple pie as well. Well, this takes two of those pies, the pecans, and it's on top in a streusel layer, and underneath is this creamy, beautiful custardy pumpkin filling.
There's heaven in there too, I'm pretty sure.
And it's rich. It's got dark brown sugar, so it's got a little bit of a molasses kind of flavor to it. It's perfect this time.
Yeah,
of year.
You know, I'm actually not much of a pumpkin pie fan, and I'll let you take a bite.
I'm going to
then take my time going to a call so you can chew. But the extra sugar, that deep brown sugar flavor, the nuttiness on top, really kind of tamps down the pumpkin. Gives it a nice combination. And it also feels like my mother's summertime pecan pie with the wintertime pumpkin pie.
There you go.
It's a really nice combination.
That's brilliant, yeah.
All right, Becky from Milton, it is your turn. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, we love America's Test Kitchen. They're fabulous.
Thank you.
I have made an apple pie for my family for a long time. Always used Crisco and used to use just regular flour. My husband's gluten-free now. And we found that he can tolerate Italian flour that's directly from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Grono 00. But it breaks for me. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on what I should be doing.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the 00 flour does not have a lot of gluten in it, and that is why your husband can tolerate it, but it's also why it is starting to break on you. So things that you can add to a gluten-free tart dough, or even in this case, even though it does have a little bit of gluten, is a little bit of xanthan gum. So xanthan gum is going to sort of act like that stretchy material that gluten forms, that elastic kind of ability.
Z-A-N-T-H-A-M.
That's correct. Okay. Actually, it's an N at the end.
Xanthan.
I think, yeah,
okay.
Xanthan gum. A little bit of that, a teaspoon added to the dry ingredients before you mix your dough together. That should really help. The other thing is you want to let that dough hydrate for a while. So before, you don't want to roll it out right away. You want to put it together. You want to give it a good 30 more minutes than you would with a regular recipe, regular pie dough, to let the flour really start to hydrate, because it doesn't hydrate as quickly as a full-on gluten, full pie dough would.
And let's take another call. We've got Ruth from Acton on the line. Ruth, go ahead.
Hi, ladies. Happy holiday week to you.
You too.
I have an unrequited love relationship with pastry. As much as I love to bake, and I try to do it very often, I have a particular thing I want to bake, and the dough will not behave. I want to make mini pies this year with like an empanada kind of dough, and my dough comes out pale and hard after the oven rather than flaky and golden. What am I doing wrong?
What indeed?
Well, that's so you mean mini as in tiny, not as in many, as in a lot of pies, right?
Mini as in M-I-N-I, okay. Right, Ruth?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, if you think about it, so the smaller the dough, the less time something is going to be in the oven. So that's the less time that it has an opportunity to brown. So things that you can do to try to get your pie dough to brown a little bit is take a look at your ingredients. Are there any kind of acidic ingredients? Acidic ingredients will prevent foods from browning.
Why? Well, maybe that's too common. I don't know.
You know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure I have the answer to it right now, but I do know that adding a little bit of baking soda into just about anything is going to help with browning. The other thing is maybe you want to sprinkle some brown sugar on the outside, melt some butter and a little bit of brown sugar. Butter's going to help with browning. because there are milk solids in there that are going to toast very quickly. So I think, I hope that that would help with the coloring.
And Bridget, when you say a little bit of baking soda, mm-hmm. do you mean like half a teaspoon or a pinch or?
Like quarter to a half a teaspoon max. Okay. You don't want to taste it in there.
Okay. So there are going to be some listeners who have not tried to make a pie before. Mm-hmm. And rather than terrifying them so that they never want to, let's start with a basic recipe that you would recommend a first timer try. What's the right first time pie?
That's a really good question. I would say actually for this time of year, pumpkin pie is perfect. So pumpkin pie, let's talk about the crust first. You're going to want to blind bake the crust, and that sounds like a terrifying term.
Yes, it does.
So, and I'm going to say something that maybe people don't want to hear, but if you need to buy refrigerator ready roll out pie dough to make a pie, then you do it.
Whatever, no shame.
Whatever gets you into the kitchen and gets that pie into the oven, you get to say, you know what? And you get to say, yes, that's my pie because guess what? You bought the dough.
So you, so I love it.
It belongs to you. So you want to fit the pie dough into the pan. Anything that's hanging over the sides, you just roll it back, do a little crimping. You can use a fork to make a nice pattern around it. And then you would blind bake it. That means you're going to put a couple layers of foil in there. And pie weights, fill it up with pie weights. If you do not have pie weights, I have a giant jar of pennies that's in my kitchen that I use and reuse and reuse for baking over and over and over again. It never touches the food because it's touching the foil instead. So you let that pie dough bake for about 15 minutes. Take the foil off. Let it go another 10 minutes. Your pie dough is basically done. And all you have to do is make the pumpkin filling. And what's good about a blind baked pie dough, you can make it the day before. So you can really, like, take it easy.
So then how do people store that crust once mm-hmm. it's been baked before they put the pumpkin pie filling in?
So you would wrap it with a little bit of plastic wrap, maybe some foil. If you want to put it in the freezer, you can store that up in the freezer for a month or two in advance. And then the pumpkin pie filling is super easy. It's just actually pumpkin puree right out of the can. You put it in the food processor with an egg, some brown sugar, your spices. It goes into a saucepan, and you cook it over low heat until it goes what I call bloop, bloop, bloop. You start to see a little bit of spluttering. Pour it into your pie shell, into the oven.
All right. And our website, radioboston.org, has your top five tips for pies, things like pre-treat your fillings and measure your ingredients. That is America's Test Kitchen's Bridget Lancaster. Bridget, thanks. That was really fun.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. And I can't wait to have another bite of the pie. Find more information about The Perfect Pie, your ultimate guide to classic and modern pies, tarts, galettes, and more on our website, radioboston.org. That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.